Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Welcome in. Time for Daily Editorial. A lot of big things happened yesterday. It looks like the Republicans are truly walking in the direction that they should be walking into. Peter Schiff is out. The other bad apples are out. A lot of comments about that coming on. I watched every single thing that was on yesterday about that. Let's talk about Schiff and Omar first, Jimmy.
Well, Adam Schiff has been not allowed to get on the Intelligence Committee, and Kevin McCarthy very clearly articulated when and where he lied to the American public, using his position as chair of the Intel Committee to the media to justify his positions. Now, which were false.
Right.
He also helped orchestrate, and his staff helped orchestrate the impeachment trial for Donald Trump, President Trump, over the Ukrainian phone call, which is a complete farce.
Right.
And he had lied about contacts and working with the individual that leaked that information.
Yeah.
So he's out. Eric Swalwell, we mentioned earlier, he's from, you know, another congressman from California. He was sleeping with a Chinese spy.
Right. We talked about that yesterday. Right.
Yeah. So he's out. And Ilhan Omar, I don't know if what the final decision is on her position on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, but she's embarrassed herself on numerous occasions. Though there are a couple of Republicans that were arguing to keep her on. Nancy Mace from South Carolina actually was one of them that was arguing to keep her on the committee. I don't know if that one's decided yet. I don't know if you've heard, Al.
No, I haven't heard this morning.
Yeah. So, and of course, Ilhan Omar, she's a Somali refugee that really slams the American, system. And of course, And does so as she has benefited greatly from it. And of course, Ilhan Omar is also the one that was married to her brother, that had had a lot of fraudulent information about her, but somehow remains without any law enforcement review of her illegalities.
What, in your opinion, is this going to do ultimately to the Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez group?
Well, you know, the squad had a few more progressive crazies join them and win elections from deep blue progressive areas this last time. So, you know, usually what has happened and what has happened with AOC, they come in, and this happens with Republicans too. They come in ideologically very strong.
Yeah.
And then over time, they get actually beaten down by the deep state and how the system works.
Yeah.
And I believe that's probably happening to AOC. She's changed her positions in a number of areas. She's been inconsistent in her policies. She's actually not bright at all. It has a very limited understanding of the impact of the policies, Green New Deal type issues she's pushed, but she gained a lot of notoriety on it and got a lot of public attention for it. Will she keep power, have influence to her followers? Her followers are extremist left ideologues.
Yeah.
So that's about it, in my view.
What do you think is going to do to Schiff's political career? Do you think he'll be out? I think the guy's too sneaky to be out. I think he's bright, and I think he knows how to take advantage of other Democrats.
Well, interestingly enough, he just announced his run for the U.S. Senate for the California seat that Dianne Feinstein should be out of right now, because she's actually cognitively incapable of holding the office. But there's nothing new about that. That happens a lot with some of the elder senators when they've lost their ability to make rational decisions and their staffs just keep floating them. So he's running for that seat. It'll be a fight. There's some other powerful Democrats that'll be fighting for that seat in California. Adam Schiff will be embarrassed over time because of the lies that in his position and what he's done. I don't think that he, in my opinion, he's not going to meet the requirements in a jungle primary for California to be on the ballot against another Democrat.
Why do you say that?
Well, I think there's a couple of more powerful Democrats that'll be more insiders in California state politics and in the Democratic Party. And I think he'll be, so the way it works in California, it's the top two vote getters. So there'll probably be a conservative that steps into the ring, a populist type conservative that will probably get the number two position. And another Democrat, I think, will get the number three because the Democrats will split the vote by two or three candidates.
I can't believe he let himself get into a race, though, where he really didn't stand a very, very good chance of winning it. He just strikes me as being that kind of guy.
He has a lot of support from very, very rich, influential Democrats in Hollywood. And he's got a lot of power that way. So I think he's confident that he can do it. And he doesn't probably have anywhere else to go. His argument is that, you know, the our democracy is at risk, but he's actually one of the ones that are making it most at risk right now.
Right, I agree.
So,
well,
I think that'll come out.
Yeah, well, I'm very happy that this whole thing has taken place right now because the Republicans are really putting their money where their mouth is, and they started pretty quickly, and I'm very, very happy about that. I think we've got a fairly... I don't want to say the Democrats are kind of reeling against the ropes, you know, as maybe Muhammad Ali would say, but I think that they realize that they're probably in trouble. And I think they realize if the Republicans really, really perform, which as of this morning, you know, they have really performed so far from what I've been able to see. But I think there are a couple of other issues for the country that are very as important, I guess I want to say, as the Republican control of the House. One of them is the deficit. The deficit is really something that is able to really, really hurt our country, Jim.
Yeah, I mean, the deficit is definitely going to destroy us if we continue down this route.
Right.
And it'll certainly reduce the, as we've seen and we've talked about with petrodollar being pushed out.
Right.
And, you know, Saudi's taking other currencies. You know, there's a lot of things that would indicate a weakening of U.S. influence and power, and the debt will be one of them.
Yeah,
but I do think that that is still the United States still has a tremendous amount of influence and power, and the what's happening right now I don't believe can last. So the Biden regime, what they're doing. The policies that they've put forth, which are really crushing American middle class and poor families, I think it's only going to come back to haunt them. And I think there's a lot of potential changes in the works. And I think the potential for investigations to highlight to the public what's actually going on behind the scenes will be important for changing the direction of the nation.
Well, I definitely hope that you're right on that one, Jim. I really do. I think the Democrats, and I want to talk about them as individuals, not necessarily as a party, but as individuals, I think they are very, very power hungry. And I have to believe that some of the top Democrats, I think at this moment in time, are really rethinking their actions in the past. I really have to believe that. Chuck Schumer, for example, he's a very, very cagey, intelligent politician. And I think he's starting to take a look at what's happening. Any comment on that?
Yeah, I think they're looking at the way they look at the world is, all right, what's happening? How can we adjust ourselves to keep ourselves in power?
Right.
I don't think they're looking to benefit the United States or the American people.
I agree with that. I do.
But they'll adjust to meet those requirements. And, you know, Adam Schiff, he's stepping into this race in California. Katie Porter is actually already in it, too. She's very influential for California politics. You're going to see this fight on the Democratic side that continues in blue states with progressive ideologues. And you're going to see stronger in conservative states. You're going to see stronger, more America First candidates. So you're going to see a bigger divide. It'll basically come down to who gets the preponderance of power in 2024 to be able to put the direction of this nation one way or the other. And that split, I think, is going to be ever more prevalent and actually probably incredibly damaging in the long run to everybody's confidence and faith of our economy. It's going to take a long time to come out of the problems that have been put forward in just 2 years.
Yeah. Jim, I want to ask you a question. Let's do this one really quickly, but I promised Tony that we would address this issue in today's daily editorial. It's a budget-related issue. Tell me how the military budget, isn't that probably, Tony thinks, a major portion of the budget deficit?
It's actually nowhere near the level of the budget deficit that Social Security, medical care, and the social services type support.
Yeah.
11% of our overall budget. It is a large amount. It's certainly a massive amount compared to other countries because of our GDP is so high. And when we have close to a 3% expenditure for defense, that's a lot of money. $800 billion, somewhere around $800 billion. I won't know the specific numbers in this, but that's a lot of money. And of course, the fraud and the waste, the abuse, what's happening right now with the pouring $100 billion. It's actually probably about $30 or $40 billion in actually defense aid to Ukraine.
Yeah,
but that's actually not money that comes out of the defense budget. The equipment that comes out of the defense budget, what they call this end use, they're actually providing drawdown. There's what they call the drawdown. They're allowing to pull inventories, U.S. inventories, and giving that to Ukraine.
Yeah.
That's going to be expensive to retool, repair, put back in there. But that money is actually spent through the Security Assistance Program, which is actually allocated to the State Department.
Yeah.
So understanding how those budgets actually break out are really important. The overall cost of the 2023 NDAA, I wish I could remember what the number was. I'm glancing at it right now. There are a lot of ways that you can cut the budget and should cut the budget. But at the same time, you can't just stop spending on defense. I mean, it's just
– of course.
You've got to be smart about it. It's $816.7 billion for fiscal 2023. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is.
So,
a bunch.
The most important thing is to look at how we're spending, where we're spending, what the long-term implications are, how much money is spent in overseas operations, how much could be brought back to the United States. And of course, we will end up – the problem we're facing right now, Al, and this is a big one, we're competing with other global powers.
Right.
China is dominating the rare earth metals markets, the aluminum market, the energy markets. They are buying up these things that we can't even produce those types of metals with. So that raises prices. And if we get into some sort of a conflict, which of course I would prefer not to be, and I think most people would prefer not to be in a conflict. But if somehow we get more into this and we're spending more in Ukraine, we're going to have a real problem defending ourselves. And that's the trade-off. We'll have a real problem in trying to survive an actual very large major theater conflict. And that would not go well for the future of our nation.
Yeah. Jim, I don't want to squeeze out some of the topics that we've been talking about on a daily basis on these editorials, because they are also very important. They go hand in hand with what has happened to the executive office, not the executive office, but the real running of this country. Now, I haven't seen any really what I would call meaningful news on the Ukraine, other than what we talked about yesterday, was that Germany and the United States are now sending tanks over there. And I think that Irish Tony and, if I'm not mistaken, Larry brought up an interesting point, and that is, isn't that, in a sense, in their opinion, and it's a question, kind of like Germany declaring war on Russia? And my response to that comment was, you could take it that way. Any comments?
Well, there's no question. We're very deeply involved in this.
Right.
And the Russians are going to perceive it, certainly from a political level and a media level as Western intervention, U.S. intervention, giving direct equipment support to them. At the same time, you know, the Iranians are giving direct equipment support to Russia. The North Koreans are giving direct equipment support to Russia. The Chinese have been doing things under the table to provide support by buying energy and providing other resources to Russia. So the question is, does this divide into, you know, a major East-West conflict? You know, there's a lot of hype and a lot of people are going to freak out about these different things. The reality is if Russia was able to, if the Russian military was able to take Kiev and actually subdue the Ukrainians, they would have done it less than the 11 and a half, almost 12 months they've been working at it right now. So they can say all they want, and this is a very dangerous time and a precedent, but there's limited additional military capabilities that they can put together immediately to change the outcome. They fired another 50 missiles today. Putin has come out and said, you know, this is terrible and, you know, we're going to accept, you know, conflict. There's a certain limitation to what they can actually achieve. Mm-hmm. Do we want to see it go expand into war? No. Are the policies here absolutely, in my view, ridiculous from the Biden administration and NATO and the EU? Yes. Could they organize and coordinate and put together a package that would negotiate a settlement on here? If they wanted to, they would. But I think there's a lot of pressure underneath from not only arms makers and arms dealers, but also a certain, you know, political ideology here that somehow there's good versus evil, when in fact it's a lot more complex than that.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. The other comment I wanted to bring up, so we touched on the budget issue, and that is a very big issue. Kevin McCarthy, I think, is doing a great job as the speaker, and I applaud him for taking the very dramatic and very public actions that he has taken against the three Schiff and his buddies, for lack of better terms. I really applaud him for doing that. I did not watch the news last night. I'll be watching it all day today, and I'll be interested to see how Fox, for example, covers this. I can imagine how MSM is covering it, but I'm really curious to see how Fox is covering this thing. I think the United States is at one of the most dangerous points in its history right now. And I think the good old Adam Schiff and Omar and the rest of them have put them there. Our country right now, I think politically one could say, is pretty disorganized. And I mean, and disorganization is very similar to the term weakness. I don't know if we could pull it together at this point as we did after 9/11. What do you think?
Well, I think it's going to take some deep recognition. We talked about this yesterday. People have to understand what's happening, and they actually hit rock bottom. And when we see economic downturn, when we see potential major conflict, I think people are going to finally wake up to the lies and the BS that's being propagated out there. Well, there's the most important thing right now is opening the books on being transparent on the issues that we've been lied about as a in the public. And the most important one right now, in my view, is the shutdowns, the economic collapse that was put forward by the Democrats and people that pushed these vaccinations and jabs. And you get this information that comes out from a Project Veritas video showing an executive with Pfizer that's responsible for research and development talking about actually growing the viruses to be more dangerous in order to build vaccinations in advance. And what we're seeing with that is the level of corruption and the willingness of these companies to actually risk the public for their financial benefit. That needs to be transparent. There's more and more information coming out on the negatives of these vaccines. We've got the UK recommending against getting boosters and younger people at all. You've got the South Africans that are questioning the vaccine effectiveness. You've got a lot of science that's coming out questioning that.
Yeah.
So people are going to want to know why they were lied to. And again, when someone finds out they've been lied to by their government, it really causes problems. We've seen it before in the 60s. We've seen it before and many times throughout history.
Right.
And I expect to see some pushback and change from that if the voices are heard? And that's the big question.
That's a real big question. I'd like to wrap this thing up by just saying I think it's interesting that the Democrats are really crying in their beer right now that the Republicans have come out and said, we're going to focus on the causes of COVID. And that's implying that they don't believe that the administration, you know, Congress, whatever, has done a credible job. And I don't think they have. Jimmy, final words.
Yeah, so Health and Human Services, the CDC, and of course, the National Institute of Health and Fauci's organization, the NIAID, actually worked very hard to counter the information that was out about potential Wuhan development, Wuhan lab development, and gain-of-function research. Yeah. That's going to come back to haunt them, and it better. Let's hope and pray that the facts are out there. People are starting to be very concerned that they ever got the shots. Yeah. They're regretting it. And then as more people die because of indirectly from these vaccinations and having nothing to do with COVID,
right?
Let's hope there's some accountability and actually force accountability.
And that's one of the most important things that has faced our country in my lifetime. And I pray also, as you do, that this thing will come out and people will stop dying. I really mean that. I have some very negative thoughts about some of the Democrats right now. I know they're going to crow quite a bit about the increase in the GDP, which was only 2.9%. But I don't think they should bring that up because that really isn't very good. So let's see what happens. Jimmy, love to talk to you. Thank you. You're a real source of credible information. Thanks, man.
Talk to you later, Al.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.